Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
Welcome back. Well, as many of you would know, I've started a series on the letter of Philippians, and I've called it Triumph Through Tough Times. And it's written by the Apostle Paul, who writes this letter from prison. Yet it's one of the most positive, faith-filled, uplifting letters he writes in the entire New Testament. And the thing that really stands out to me is that even though he's going through a really difficult circumstance, he's actually got a positive, faith-filled, life-giving attitude in the midst of it. So what that means is he didn't allow his circumstances to steal his joy or rob him of his faith. And so we've been doing this series on the letter of Philippians called Triumph Through Tough Times. Today I want to base my message out of Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 to 26. And it says this, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But I live on in the flesh. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask and pray that you help us to be the victorious overcomers you've called us to be. I thank you and praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that strikes me about this passage of scripture from the Apostle Paul is that he actually does not allow his external circumstances to encroach upon him. And so here we have him not afraid of things that others might be afraid of. And so my title today is Four Things That the Apostle Paul Is Not Afraid Of. Four things that he doesn't fear in the midst of his circumstance. The first thing he's not afraid of is this. It says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 19, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Now, you wouldn't know this just by reading this, but this first phrase where he says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance," is actually a direct quote from the book of Job. So in Job chapter 13, verse 16, it actually says, Job says, "Indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance, for no godless person would dare come before him." And so he is aligning himself with Job. And Job at the time was going through a difficult time. He was suffering immensely. The entire letter book of Job is all about Job's suffering. And in the midst of his suffering, he makes this declaration, "I know this will turn out for my deliverance." And what he is basically saying there is that God is going to get me out of this. His comforters had come around him, and even his wife had come around him and told him to curse God. His comforters had come around Job and had told him that he must have done something wrong in order for him to suffer. One of the things we understand about the book of Job is this, that even good people sometimes go through tough times. That the fact that you go through a tough time is not a sign that God hates you. It's not a sign that you've done something wrong. And it's not a sign that God is against you. And in the midst of all this pressure, Job actually says, "For I know this will turn out for my deliverance." Here, the Apostle Paul quotes the exact same phrase. He is saying, "For I know this will turn out for my deliverance." He is saying that God is not punishing me. That is not why I'm in prison. I'm not in prison because I've done anything wrong. I may not know the reason why I'm in prison right now, but God will help me to come out of this situation. So the first thing that the Apostle Paul doesn't fear is the Apostle Paul doesn't fear God. He isn't blaming God for what he's going through. He is not taking his present circumstance as a sign that somehow God is against him or somehow God actually hates him. He doesn't turn his back on God. He actually turns to God in the midst of this circumstance. So the first thing that you don't have to be afraid of is God. Whatever you're going through right now, this is not a sign that God is against you. Don't allow your circumstances to dictate to you God's feelings toward you, because your circumstances are actually momentary, but God's love and his character and his heart for you is eternal and is unending. Be like the Apostle Paul. Don't judge your current circumstances as somehow God's displeasure towards you. He is our Heavenly Father. He loves us. And there are times when we don't understand why we go through some of the difficulties we do. But don't allow that to taint your picture of God. It does not mean that God doesn't love you. Church, you would know that I've told you this story before about how one time and with one of my sons, I was being a little bit cheeky, and one of my sons actually wanted one of the biscuits from the top shelf of the pantry. And so he said to me, this was, he was very young, he said, he was just a toddler, and he said, Daddy, I want a biscuit. And I said, how do you ask? And he didn't ask politely, and he said, Daddy, I want a biscuit. And so I said, this biscuit, and I grabbed the biscuit, and I grabbed it. I said, this biscuit. Now, this is not a parenting seminar. I'm not telling you how you're, this is not a good example of parenting, okay, but this is actually what happened. And so I got the biscuit, and I said, this biscuit, and he's looking at it, he goes, yes, give it to me. And so I grabbed it and I put it out in front of him and I said, this one, and he tries to snatch it and I pull it back. And so he just flips out. He is just screaming and yelling, and I'm holding. And so, I'm not saying you should do this. Don't do this. It was a bad example. I'm a much better parent now. But he was looking at my hand, upset. But all he had to do was look at my face and see my face was smiling. Right now, it might look like God's hand is closed to you, but I'm here to let you know His face is smiling. His face is shining upon you. Don't allow your current circumstance to colour your perception of God. He is a good God. And right here, the Apostle Paul directly quotes Job, and he does not blame God for why he's going through what he's going through. And I believe that's one of the great keys for why he continued to have a faith-filled attitude in the midst of what he was going through. The first thing the Apostle Paul did not fear in an unhealthy way, did not fear, was God. The second thing that the Apostle Paul did not fear says in Philippians 1 verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Notice this, he's in prison. He doesn't know when he's going to get out. It is quite possible that there's a chance he might stay there forever. And yet here he is, and he says words like expectation. He uses words like hope. He says statements like, in nothing I will be ashamed. And he talks about being full of boldness. The second thing the Apostle Paul did not fear in the midst of his imprisonment, in the midst of his isolation, he did not fear the future. He did not fear the future. He knew that God had plans for his life. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, for behold, the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future. He understood that even if I don't understand what's going on, I don't know how long I'm going to be here, I'm just going to trust and know that God's going to see me out the other side. One of the lessons I've learned over a number of years is that if I'm going through a difficult season that doesn't make any sense, what I've learned is this, that there will come a time in the future where I sit back and realize that God had it all under control. And so what I try and do is maintain that attitude that if I'm going through something really tough, try and maintain that attitude that, you know what, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why this has been allowed to happen in my life. But I know there will come a time that I'm going to sit back and realize that God was in complete control of the situation. And this is kind of like what the Apostle Paul is doing here. So even though he may not understand all the pieces or how it's going to work out, he understood that he would could still had a hope and a future because he understood that God actually had a plan for his life. I love hearing the story about one of the great apostles of our nation, Pastor Phil Pringle, and how he, and the leader of the C3 movement, one of the great Christian movements around the world, and how he got his first church building in the Northern Beaches of Sydney. And there was a great resistance to him actually getting this acreage, and there was a lot of resistance from council. There was a lot of resistance from neighbours, and it was a lot of resistance from financiers. And it was a real arm wrestle for a number of years until they eventually got into that property. There was a lot of opposition. There would have been a lot of times when they were doubting themselves, a lot of times when they were wondering whether they would actually have the finances to complete the project. And yet in the end, they managed to establish this great campus on the northern beaches of Sydney. And when they did that, the council actually had to create a new road. And so it was on a Wakehurst Parkway, which was a major road, but they had to create another road for people to access the church. And they created this road, and the road was called Dreadnought Road. Dreadnought Road. Now, Phil Pringle was also, you know, back in the day, wrote a lot of songs and a very good musician. And one of his most famous songs he ever wrote was a song called Fear Not. Some of you old timers might remember. Fear not, for I'm with you, fear not, for I'm with you, fear not, for I'm with you, says the Lord. That was the song that he wrote. So he goes through this great big challenge, and then they finally get the property. The council puts in a road. Don't ask the church what they want to call it. And the council calls it Dread, Fear, Naught, Not Road. Dreadnought Road. Fear Not Road. And Phil Pringle would have thought, God had this under control the whole time. And I'm here to let you know that whatever you're going through right now may not make any sense. Be like the Apostle Paul. God has a future for you and a plan. It may not make sense right now, but I'm here to let you know, if you put your hand, if you put your life in his hands, he's going to take care of you, and you're going to turn around at the end of this, and you're going to realize that God had the whole thing under control the entire time. Be like the Apostle Paul, even when it didn't make sense. You do not have to fear the future. The third thing that the Apostle Paul didn't fear, says in Philippians 1, 21 to 23, says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live is Christ and to die is gain. So what's he saying? He says, well, if I live, I'm living for Christ. But if I die, I gain, because I'm actually going to go to heaven and be with the Lord. The third thing that he didn't fear was death. For the Christian, death has no sting. It's just a gateway to the eternal life that Christ has already purchased for us. That the life that we're in right now is not eternal, it's temporary. Scripture even tells us that the things that don't lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust destroy, but actually raise up for yourself or lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, because heaven is eternal. And in the same way, the Apostle Paul totally understood this. He said, for me to live is Christ. If I live, I win. But if I die, I win as well. And he had no fear of death because of his faith in Christ. As a Christian, we don't fear death. The reason we don't fear death is because we have eternal life. So if we depart from this mortal body, God's going to give us a heavenly one, and we're going to go to heaven after we die. That's why I say being a Christian is the best of both worlds. That's actually what the Apostle Paul's saying there. He's saying being a Christian is the best of both worlds. Because if you live for Christ, then he's got a plan and purpose for your life, and you find out the reason why you're here on earth. But secondly, we get to go to heaven after we die. So being a Christian means it opens up your destiny and it actually settles your eternity. And so being a Christian is the best of both worlds. Because if we live, we win, and if we die, we win as well. For us to live is Christ and to die is gain. So as Christians, we need not fear death. One of the things I love about going to a Christian wedding is that the amount of celebration at it. And there's naturally grief, but there's also a high level of peace and hope, because we know this is not the last time that we will see this person. That as Christians, we get to go and be with the Lord after. That's why Christ died on the cross. That's why we're celebrating Easter coming up. The gospel is encapsulated in those 3 days. Because Christ died to come and take the punishment for our sin, that we might be made right with God, and so that we can have eternal life. And because of that, we need not fear death. Do we still want to live? Yes, we do, because there's things that God has for us here on earth right now. Our lives are not for us to take away. But if we end up leaving this earth, when we end up leaving this earth, we get to go to be with the Lord after we die. That's why being a Christian is the greatest thing. That's why it's so important to have that assurance. Maybe you're watching this and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have eternal life in him. And you're really stressed and you're really worried. I'm here to let you know, when you become a Christian, God's got a future for you. He's got a plan for your life. But not only that, you get to go and be with him after you die. It settles both. And maybe you're watching this and your whole world seems to have fallen apart. Some things you put trust in have fallen apart. Maybe it was your occupation. Maybe it was your career. Maybe it was a few other things. Maybe it was your health. You put your trust in those things and some of those things have temporarily faded away. I'm here to let you know there's one thing that can be unshakable in your life, and it's the faith and hope that you can have through Jesus Christ. And at the end of my message, if you are watching this and you have not given your life to Christ, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to him so that you can be like the Apostle Paul in the midst of this. Him being in that situation the way he was a great testimony to the other people going through the same thing. And I'm believing and I've been hearing great testimonies and stories of people in the life of our church who've been going through the same difficulties as others through the community, but have come through it strong, full of faith, full of hope, because we know to live is Christ, but also to die is gain. We have that assurance and hope in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul did not fear death. And the reason why he did not fear death was because he knew where he was going. He was going to be with the Lord. And if you don't know that for your life right now, I want to give you an opportunity at the end of my message to respond to him so that you can have that assurance as well. And the last thing that he did not fear says in Philippians 1 verse 25, says, "In being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith." So he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I live, I live. If I go, I go. But then he actually says in verse 25, "I know that I shall remain and continue with you all." He knew he was sticking around. What did he not fear? He didn't fear the outcome. He didn't fear the outcome. He had a confidence that he would get through this. He had a confidence that the Lord had more for him to do. And I want to encourage some people out there. You don't need to fear the outcome. Even if things don't happen the way that you thought they were going to happen, even if things come around the corner you didn't see and expect, I'm here to let you know you do not need to fear the outcome if you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 24 says this. It says, "The way of life winds upward for the wise." So in life, there's sometimes twists and turns. We don't always see what's coming around the corner. When I read this verse, I think of Castle Hill in Townsville. And if you're watching from Townsville, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. There's this great big rock in Townsville right near the water. It's called Castle Hill. A lot of people jog up it. And if you catch it on a lucky day, you might see Jonathan Thurston running up Castle Hill one morning and that sort of thing. But when you drive up Castle Hill, it twists and turns. The road twists and turns on the way up. And you go up and you can't necessarily see what's around the corner. And sometimes you've got to make sure you're sticking right in the left lane, because sometimes you go around the corner and there's another car going around at the same time. But no matter which way it twists and turns, you know eventually you're going to make it to the top. The road winds upwards and there's a beautiful view at the top of Castle Hill. It's the same thing in life. There are times when there are twists and turns. There are things that come at us from around the corner that we don't see coming, that we did not anticipate and that we didn't expect. But make no mistake, for the Christian, at the end of the day, the way of life actually winds upwards. And you might be right now in your living room watching this. You might be on your veranda watching this, and you're worried and you're stressed because you're worried about the outcome. You can't see what's around the corner. I'm here to let you know that in Christ, you, just like the Apostle Paul, you do not need to fear the outcome. That God will take care of you. There are things around the corner that you didn't anticipate, that you didn't expect. But I know that if you give your life to Christ, if you're walking with him, he will see you out the other side. For some people, you're going to look at this season and you're going to realize it was the greatest redirection that God made for your life. That what God did in this season, some things you wanted to hold on to, God made you let go because of this season, but that will free you up to lay a hold of some other things that God has for you. Proverbs actually tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is destruction. And for us, we know that we don't know everything. We can't predict everything, but we know the one who can. And if you walk with him and allow him to just guide you, you will find that he will help you navigate this next season and help see you out the other side. And so maybe right now you're watching this and you've actually got a significant level of fear. You're fearful and you're worried and you're afraid. Maybe you're watching and you've interpreted this wrongly this whole season. You've interpreted it somehow as God trying to punish you, but that's not God's intention. The Apostle Paul also noticed this. He said, this will turn out for my deliverance. I'm not interpreting this as God punishing me because God loves me. Also, maybe you're there and you're actually worried about the future. You don't need to worry about that. You don't need to be stressed because your hand is with Him. Maybe you're fearing death. Well, the Bible says that for us that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And maybe you're also worried about the outcome of all of this. You don't need to fear, just like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul went through something similar to us. In fact, in many ways, a lot worse. And yet he didn't allow fear in his heart. The thing I've noticed across social media and across the news, the amount of fear mongering and the amount of times people have talked about fear. As Christians, we can go through the same thing as everyone else, but not allow that fear on the inside of us. God can help us to sail through. And if you're at home and you're worried and you've got fear about what's happening right now, I want to pray for you and pray the peace of God will come. Bible says the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. So that means if you're going through a situation where you should naturally be stressful, God can fill you with a peace. It doesn't make sense. You shouldn't have this peace. But through Christ, you can have a peace. Jesus said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. And so it surpasses all understanding and it guards your heart and it guards your mind. So that means there could be things that come towards you that might cause you to stress or get given over to anxiety. The peace of God can guard both, even when it doesn't make sense to have that peace. And if you're watching and you need that peace, this peace will repel fear. This peace will help, will guide you through this season. If you need peace right where you are, feel free to comment on one of our streams. We got pastors monitoring it on our Facebook Live and also on our live stream. If you're saying, I need the peace of God right now, why don't you put a comment there? And we're going to pray for you right now that the peace of God will guard your heart and mind, that like the Apostle Paul, fear will not penetrate your heart. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody watching and I ask and pray for the peace of God. Lord, a peace that doesn't make sense, a peace that guards our hearts and our minds, a peace that in the natural we shouldn't have. I pray for that right now in Jesus' name. For those worried about their income, for those worried about their occupation, for those worried about their health, in many ways justifiably so, I pray in spite of that, that you would fill them with your peace right now, wherever they are. The peace of God, I pray may their homes be filled with peace as they're spending more time at home with their loved ones, spending more time at home with their families. I pray may their homes be filled with peace as well. Let peace be one of the great indicators of your people in this time. I pray for the peace of God right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, as I mentioned before, maybe you're watching and you haven't given your life to Christ. It's the only reason why the Apostle Paul could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And if you're watching and you have not given your life to Christ, if you're watching on the live stream, feel free to just click the hand up icon on the screen. If you want to make comment to one of our pastors, feel free to do that as well. But right where you are, wherever you are, if you're in your lounge room, kitchen, at home, wherever, if you want to give your life to Christ, then I want you to repeat this prayer after me. It's a prayer of invitation. There's nothing you need to do to make yourself worthy of God. That's why Christ died. He took the punishment for our sin on the Christ that we could be made worthy. And so I want to pray for you. If you say today, I want to give my life to Christ. If that is you right where you are, repeat this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for being a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord and Savior, to be my best friend. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. And I thank you that today I'm joining your family. If you just made that decision for the first time, that is awesome. feel free to click on that icon, or feel free to contact or email us here at King's Church, and we'd love to have one of our pastors contact you and talk to you about the decision that you made. But we're going to finish our service in just a moment. But before we do, we're going to worship God, and we're going to declare His goodness. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. So sometimes you can't see it, but mercy and goodness is following you because you serve a good and loving God. So let's worship Him in this place.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.